pastored for many years. I even look today, and he is pastor emeritus today. He's very much my senior in age, and he is a great servant of the Lord. He's a very brilliant man. God has used him greatly, but he was, back in the 70s, just extremely naive and very much innocent when it came to our culture. And he went to make this one visit. I think it was a young man's mother's asked if he would visit her son. And so he goes into the house to make this visit. Now, he's a pastor is some kind of a bit of a scatterbrain. We pastors are odd people anyway. And there was one time in this one house he was making the visit. And when he got ready to leave, he opened the door and stepped into the closet. And so he does some things like that. And he went to visit this young man. And as he was, now this is back in the 70s, he was talking. And this young man, and the young man looked at him and said, "Well, Pastor, I just need to tell you." He said, I'm gay. And the pastor looked at him and says, "Well, wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm gay, too." And he said, "No, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm gay." And the pastor said, "That's marvelous. I'm happy, too." He says, "Pastor, I'm trying to tell you I'm gay, gay." And the pastor looked at him with all sincerity and says, "That's great. I'm happy, happy." And the word gay had not been used much back then. There are other words that were used. And but it was a big joke about being happy, happy. Now, let me say that the world is seeking happiness. We live in a time, and we all, and if you're like me and like many of us, we don't even watch the news anymore. We first of all, you don't know if you believe any of it, and then it's always bad. But we see Russia invading Ukraine. We got an email from one of our missionaries in Belarus, and he said that Russia and Ukraine are having meetings about getting the innocents out of Ukraine before the final hammer comes down. And he asked us to pray for him that Belarus, they're definitely going to join Russia in the invasion. We see things around our country. We've had a pandemic that we've never dealt with before. Now, we've had mumps, and we've had chicken pox, and we've had other things, but we've never had anything like this COVID thing as before. We have just a number of things that challenge us in our happiness. I think of the quote, I might not quote it perfectly, but Dr. John R. Rice used to say that a sad countenance is a poor testimony for a Christian or for a child of God. So the world is seeking happiness, but it's the one thing that cannot be purchased, it cannot be bought. There's a lot of people who have money to burn, but they're very unhappy. And it's something that cannot be forced or cannot be taken. Yet all people desire happiness. Now, the wonderful news is that God loves us and God desires for us to be happy. How happy should we be? We should be happy, happy. And we have a multitude of blessings. Now, the word in Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed or blessed, it depends on if you're reading it as a pastor or layperson. And but the Hebrew word is esher. And it's always found in the plural because our happiness does not come only on one blessing, but in many, many blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We all know the song, "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." Now, God has been so good to us, and we are so soon to forget His blessings. I was telling our folks yesterday morning during our revival prayer meeting and our soul winning that I know God is not a respecter of persons, but this week, if God had a pet, I'm pretty sure I was it. He has just blessed me this week so much. But to be honest, He blesses me daily. He blesses you daily as well. You know, there's big things that God does in our lives. But, you know, the very fact that we wake up is a great blessing. The very fact that we have the oxygen in our lungs, that's from God. He's the sustainer of life. And there are several biblical reasons here why we should have happiness. Now, notice this first part of Psalm 1. The first part deals with the happy. It says, blessed or happy is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful. It speaks about our company, that we should have some separation that's going to be bring happiness in our life. Then he says, his delight is the law of the Lord. Man, we should delight in this book right here. We should delight that we've got the Word of God. And we know that His Word is infallible. We know that His Word is inspired. We know that His Word is preserved. And thank God we've got it. Aren't you grateful for that? There's places that I've been. I've been to different countries where the Word of God is against the law. If you get caught with the New Testament, you're going to be arrested. They'll take a Bible and they'll dissect it in pages and they'll pass it out to the congregation. And then they'll exchange it back and forth so they can all have a piece of the Word of God. And his delight's the law of the Lord. And he says, in his law, he meditates day and night. He is faithful to be in the Word of God. Then he tells the condition. He's going to be like a tree, verse 3, that's planted by the rivers of water. That means he'll always have fruit. It means he'll always have nourishment. He has the river of water that is there that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not withereth. He has rivers of water. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And God's people said. This is the happy part of Psalm 1. But notice the sad part. It begins with verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now the chaff is that was mingled in with the wheat. And if you've ever seen these large woven vessels, they're not very deep, but they would take their wheat and put it in there and they would throw it up and the chaff would be blown away and the wheat would come back down in their utensil, in their tool. And this is the way the ungodly, they'll be blown away, and they are blown away with every strange wind of doctrine, aren't they? He says in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we see the first three verses of this deal with the happy. And we can be happy, happy, and we ought to be happy. I'm saying in the middle, in a turbulent time, and who's to say that we could not be Ukraine one day, that things certainly could take place. It may be our own government rather than another country coming in. But we should be happy, and we can be happy. And the Bible gives us in the Psalms why we could have this wonderful happiness. Let me give you a few reasons, if I may. The blessed man of Psalms was happy. He said, blessed is the man. He says, I'm happy. And I want you to know, God has a desire for us to be happy. Now, I do understand joy and happiness. And tonight I'm going to be speaking about the joy of the Lord. I think that's important. We'll speak about it tonight, Lord willing. But this morning I'm speaking about happiness. And I know that happenings affect our happiness. If we go out and we find a flat tire, that doesn't make us happy. If we go out and check the mail and there's $1,000 gift in there from Aunt Myrtle, who we hadn't seen in 5 years, that makes us happy. Happenings affects our happiness. But here are some biblical reasons for happiness. First of all, let me say that the blessed man of Psalms is happy because his sins are forgiven. He says in Psalm 32, verse 1, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered. When a man who is sick with the palsy, think of this, who was Lord. Remember his friends brought him and the multitude, the mass was so great that they couldn't get there. He was too ill. He was too sick to be able to get in himself. So they got this man on a stretcher some way. Where there's a will, there's a way. He had four friends. I've always said four can do more. And he got him up on the rooftop and they tore the roof out and they lowered this man in to the Lord Jesus right above his head. In Luke 5, verse 20, the Bible says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Think about it today. Our sins are gone. Think about whatever sin, every lie you ever told, every bad thought you ever had, anything that you want to put on the list, I want you to know it can be under the blood. Jesus has forgiven us of our sins, and we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be happy. We ought to be thrilled to know that our sins are gone. I've been teaching Hebrews in my Sunday school class, and I got a good start on it Monday, and I spent a little bit of time on it on Tuesday. But I got distracted with some things that demanded my time on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. So I thought I'll finish it up Saturday night. But boy, I got engaged in it. It was a lot more than what I thought. So I was up pretty late last night finishing up my Sunday school. But I came across and I ended on this verse in Hebrews 8, verse 12. It says, "For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Man, I had a spell in my study at home last night. Man, I read that and I see where God is merciful to the unrighteous. I see where He refuses to remember our sins and our iniquities. Man, I started sobbing there in my office last night. I started crying. I got my handkerchief and put it. I just had a good cry. And then I just started sending it out to some people. I just want you to know, I just finished our Sunday school class lesson and I ended with this verse. What a blessing it is. We ought to be happy. My sins are forgiven. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven's my home. We'll be walking on up there what people are fighting for down here. The gates of pearl will be there. The streets of gold will be there. And the walls of jasper will be there. We'll be in a place where there's no sorrow, no sickness, no sadness, no death. But listen, if heaven was a road and a picket fence, glory to God, Jesus being there and seeing Him face to face is going to make it heaven for us. We ought to be happy that my sins are forgiven. The devil can come up and say, "Look at you. You think you're a Christian? Look at you. Look at yourself. You think that you're a Christian? Look at you. You know what you did. You know what you said. You know what you thought." But the Holy Spirit steps in and says, "You leave him alone, you devil. His sins have been forgiven. He has been set free. I mean, the bondage has been broken. I am forgiven. I'm happy about it." Amen. Secondly, we see that we ought to be happy because the psalmist, he found satisfaction. A lot of people are looking for satisfaction. The world promises satisfaction. The world says, "Smoke this, you'll be happy." The world says, "Drink this, you'll be happy." The world says, "Let this into your skin, you'll be happy." The world says, "Go after this skirt and go after that skirt, or go after this man, go after that man, you'll be happy." The world says, "Get all the world riches, get your boats and your cars and your horses and your motorcycles and your houses, and to get all the money you can get, and that'll make you happy." The world never delivers. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He comes and He gives us satisfaction. In Psalm 65, verse 4, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." There's true happiness and satisfaction. They're not the same, but I want you to know when you are satisfied, you are happy. You were going out for a nice meal and it wasn't so nice. You were going out and, it was just really barely edible. And you left there and say, "Honey, when we get home," I might be the only one doing this, "but honey, when we get home, you need to fix me a little something. I didn't really enjoy that tofu." You know, what's wrong with people who eat tofu? Have you never had grits? Bless your heart. You ever had greens? Amen. Let's say amen. Let's go eat somewhere. Okay. And she said, "Honey, well, you just had a meal." "But yeah, but honey, I'm not satisfied. I might be eating something, but I'm just not satisfied." And listen, you can't be happy until you're satisfied. There is a true happiness and satisfaction. And the reason that so many folks are not happy is because they're looking in the wrong places. They're searching. The world will scream at us. The world will have the bright lights flashing, but the world never delivers, never delivers. And there's no real satisfaction to be found in what this world has offered. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Somebody should write a song. And Philippians 4, verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye faithful. The peace comes from the result of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't know what Russia's going to do. I don't know what Mr. Putin's going to do. I don't know what Mr. Biden is going to do. Mr. Biden doesn't know what he's going to do. A lot of people don't know who's going to do what, but I want you to know this. God is right there. God's got his thumb right on top of it. God is sovereign. God knows his will. So if he needs to use ignorant man or Balaam's donkey to get his will done, he'll do it for sure. I want you to know God's on top of it, and we can lay down at night. We can have peace no matter what happens. Our God's in control. Hallelujah. And we have satisfaction. The Bible tells us that peace comes as the result of knowing him. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus, or by Christ Jesus. Understand, I know gas is high. I drive a Toyota Camry. I've been driving it since 2014. It's been paid off a long time. It sits out in the garage, doesn't need any hay or anything. It's just already paid for. And I pumped gas yesterday, and when I got to $50, I just stopped. I wasn't full, I just stopped. They said, you fill it up? I said, no, I stopped at 50. But just a short while ago, 22 would fill it up. Short while ago, it was $1.80. Now, I'm not happy about that, but I know this. My God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I know this, that he tells me that but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? I'm paying $50 for a tank of gas, but evidently I can afford it. I pay for it. I'm not missing. I'm not going hungry. You see, I got a God who's going to take care of me. And I'm thankful for a church that's considerate. I so much appreciate it. Our 33rd anniversary last Sunday night. I enjoyed the fellowship and the dinner and everything. But I want you to know this. We have a God that loves us. He knows our infirmities. He's concerned for us. He cares for you. He knows your name. He has every hair on your head numbered. He considered the lily, considered the sparrows. Listen to me. He knows about us, and we can be satisfied. I'm happy because I'm forgiven, because I'm satisfied. Hey, I'm happy because the psalmist was happy because he's loved and accountable. Listen to what it says in Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man, happy, whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. Now, some might say, how in the world can you say you're happy for being chastened? The happiness that comes from being disciplined comes from the realization, I belong to him. He loves me. My dad was a Marine. And he didn't usually tell you twice. And my mother, she must have been a Marine too. She was pretty tough. Talking about my mother. And we were getting in the car one night, and we had been in this little church, and we had not attended church. And I know I had to be just a wonderful child to be sitting by in church. I know I had to be. And I was there, and I don't remember a whole lot. I was really young. I think I might have been 3 years old. I don't really remember, but a couple of cool things. There's the pulpit would raise all the way up, and the water baptistry was underneath that. That was often. I just wanted to see people get in the water. I wanted to get in the water. I didn't quite understand it. And I remember the pastor saying to this man, Brother Jones, would you please dismiss us in prayer? And it was a guy right behind me, big old guy. And I was sitting there in the seat, and I turned around and looked at him. They're all standing. I'm sitting in the seat, and his head's bowed, and his hands are on the pew like that. And I looked, and I noticed he has the most enormous fingernails I've ever seen in my life. They were enormous, and I had to touch them. You ever seen anything that's so big? Like, I got to touch them. Are those things real? I got to touch them. And while he was praying, and he said, Lord, this and that and Lord and a bunch of jumble stuff. I don't remember it. Three. And I reached out and I just raked across his index finger. And when I did, his eyes opened. He looked at me and I almost fell backward off the pew. And my mother grabbed me and she says, "When we get you home, we're going to spank you, you and your sister." I thought, well, she needs it. She's terrible. You know, but what sisters are for? And we getting in the little rattletrap car that we were in, and it was quiet. Listen, man, it was quiet. My parents were not like some of you saved parents, you know. My parents were not like, they didn't lie to us. They told us something. They meant it. And, it was when they said you're going to get a whipping, there was some sad singing, slow walking. We were going to a funeral, and it was ours. And we're in the back of the car. We're driving home. It's quiet. You could hear a pin drop. Nobody was saying anything. And I turned to my older sister, Paula, and I said, "Maybe she'll forget before we get home." And, man, when I said that, she came over that front seat like Kool-Aid busting through the wall. "I'm not going to forget." And she didn't forget. And I got a whipping. And I needed it. And to be honest with you, I probably needed a lot more than what I got. If they only knew. I won't go into my three-alarm fire. Okay, not that I'm a fire bug or anything. But I'm just saying this. Children who are left unto their own, they have a real insecurity problem. And God, He loves us. In Hebrews 12, verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth, even every son whom He receiveth." There's happiness in knowing that I belong to His family. I want you to know there are people who do things and get away with them, but not me. God loves me. I'm not going to get away with it. And He cares enough about us that He wants us to do right. You see, the blessed man in Psalms, he was happy because he was forgiven. He was happy because he was truly satisfied. He was happy because he knew he was loved, and he felt the security blanket of accountability in his life. Let me say, fourthly, he was happy, he was blessed, because he understood the benefits of obedience. In Psalm 128, verse 1 says, "Blessed or happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." You see, God's godly fear is not terror of our heart. Godly fear is not that He's going to strike us with some lightning bolt, but the proper reverence for God, the proper reverence for Him that results in our obedience and to His leadership is what it's talking about. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that reverence God, that awes God and walks in His way. I love that old hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Listen to me. There's no happiness to be found outside of the will of God. And He tells us that walketh in His ways. He's happy because He's forgiven. He's happy because He's truly satisfied. He's happy because He's loved and He's accountable to God. God's His Heavenly Father. He's happy because He understands the benefits of obedience. He's happy because also he is wholeheartedly involved in service. Service makes us happy. Finding something, we have a sweet, sweet lady here today. Her birthday, 87 years old. Now, I remember that because my mother just turned 88 years old. Now, 87 is not old, but 88 is ancient. Be sure to tell them that, okay? And, understand to be completely involved. He says in Psalm 119, verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and seek Him with their whole heart." We think of some of our retired pastors here. We have three, and they're a great blessing to us. And they're much older than me, much older, and much wiser than me too. I know, but more older than wiser maybe. But they're much older. But they came to me and they said, "Pastor, we want to do something for God." I said, "Man, that's good. And what do you want to do?" He said, "Would you consider letting us go to Jackson Manor and start having services there?" I thought, "Oh, man, those folks would love that." And we have a sweet lady here today who was in some of those services. See, that's how God is. It's a blessing. I want to know, I hope she gets a blessing, but these pastors who will leave today, they'll be walking 6 inches higher because God used their service. Understand, that in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, the Bible says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye have searched for me with all thy heart." The kind, that kind of happiness can be ours when we do like Jeremiah. Half-heartedness, half-hearted service, half-hearted walking with God never benefits God, nor does it benefit us. Get all the way in. Go all the way with God. You'll not regret that. Let me say that the blessed man of Psalms was happy because he was faithful in the house of God. Now, I know you're looking at me and say, how is he going to prove this? Look what the Bible says in Psalm 84, verse 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. I don't think it's any clearer than that. Happy people are people in the house of God. Man, I'm happy, happy. I come to the house of God. I had a great time in my Sunday school. It's all we can do to shut it down and get ready for the service. Man, I mean, we have a great time in Sunday school. We had a great time in the fellowship last week. We had a great time yesterday. We laughed and joked and we prayed for revival. We got some visits and went out and talked to people about the Lord. I want you to know that it's the faithful attendance to church brings happiness. I've never seen someone at a church that was happy in the Lord. I've never seen it. Happiness is in store for those who are faithful to the house of God. It is known as the meeting place. It's the house of God, the house of prayer, the meeting place, because God meets with us here in a special way. The power that comes to the church on the day of Pentecost didn't come to them as at the house, or there at the lake, are on the live stream. Now, let me say something. I thank God for live stream. We never have had it till COVID. I never have wanted it till COVID hit. And overnight, we all became TV evangelists just overnight, man. And everybody has live stream now. And it's important. There's people in assisted living homes in different places. There could be people even in jail. There could be people that are chronically ill that just cannot come. And I love those people, and I've buried some of those people. But if you can be in church, you ought to be here. And I just want you to know, you've seen these electronic fireplaces. Oh, they're pretty, and they got the flickering thing. But you can't get up and get warm to them. But you go to a place where they put the log on. You go to that big old cracker fireplace, don't you? Man, those cold days, I get in there, I'm waiting for my biscuits to come out, and I want them as hot as what I'm going to get by that fireplace. I mean, that fireplace, it's different. It's not just pretty. It's not just something to look at. And I want you to know, live stream serves its purpose. But if you are healthy, if you are able to be in the house of God, forsake not the assemblies of yourselves together, as a matter of some are. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Lastly, let me say this psalmist. He said, blessed is a man. We're blessed because of forgiveness. We're blessed because of satisfaction. We're blessed because we're loved and accountable. We're blessed because we can understand the benefits of obedience. We're blessed because we are in full-time commitment to the Lord. We're blessed because we come and we're faithful to His house. But lastly, the blessed man of Psalms was happy because he trusted only in Jesus. In Psalm 34, verse 8, the Bible says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Look what he says. "Blessed is a man that trusteth in him." Oh, what are you trusting in today? What are you trusting in today? The Bible says some trust in horses and some in chariots, but I will trust in the Lord my God. Sometimes we have to be coached into doing things. King David, he knows how to be, that he was blessed by trusting the Lord. He says, "Oh, taste and see." He was a great proponent of God's goodness and trusting in Him. David trusted Him when he went out before the lion and the bear. David trusted Him before he went out before Goliath of Gath. David trusted Him while he was hiding and running from the King Saul and the army of Israel. When he was lurking out in caves, David learned to trust the Lord. And King David, he understood this. And if we would only trust Him, He longs to show us His blessings. So many of us are afraid to let go of what we can see in order to take hold of what we cannot. But that is where happiness begins. Let me tell you, folks, I'm like the preacher friend I talked about. I'm happy, happy. I'm happy in the Lord. And regardless of how the world seems to be spiraling out of control, it seems like a spinning top with no string left on it. While we see loved ones and friends and acquaintances and co-workers perish through conflicts with COVID or complications with COVID. While we see the economy go straight into the ditch and go to the grocery store and just find bare shelves everywhere. While we see things that we have never, ever witnessed in all of our days and all of our life, we can still smile and say, glory to God, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And God's people said, stand with me. Now listen, I know true happiness. And I'm double happy. I'm happy, happy. But you understand this. Happiness begins with receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's how happiness begins. And if you're here this morning or if you're watching live stream and you've never ever had a spiritual awakening, you've never ever come to the point where you see yourself and all your sin. You've never ever come to Christ and repented and cried out to God for forgiveness. Friend, listen to me. You may think that you have happiness, but it's fleeting. It won't be here long, and neither will your life. It's like a vapor here today and gone forever. And right where you are, if you're at home, or if you're in a jail, or if you're across the ocean, wherever you are, you can bow your head. And right here this morning, you can bow your head and you can acknowledge your sin and acknowledge the sacrifice. He is our advocate. He is our propitiation. He appeases the wrath of God towards our sin through His blood. Listen, it's Jesus alone and Jesus enough to save us. Anything that I can do better than you has nothing to do with salvation. It's not my perfection and it's not my performance. It's His performance on the cross. And He said this, tetelestai, it is finished. Nothing to be added to. If you're here this morning and you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, won't you come? Let us take the Bible and take you to a quiet place and show you how you can know you can be saved and where you can finally experience true biblical happiness. You can become the blessed man. If you're here this morning, you have been saved. And many of you, if not all, have been. Won't you come this morning and tell the Lord you're going to dig a hoe and you're going to bury your sarcasm and your sadness and you're going to bury that contentiousness and you're going to take those pooch lips off. You're going to stop sucking persimmons and lemons, and you're going to get a happy about you. We can rejoice in the Lord regardless of what takes place around us. Lord, help us today. Lord, I know there's people in this country that's lost businesses because of COVID and because of the economy, and there's people who've had to step down in their lifestyle living. There's folks here who have buried brothers and sisters and parents and relatives and friends and co-workers. But Lord, there's no excuse for the children of God who have been given so much to not be happy. Happy in Jesus. And I pray today that we confess it as sin. We'd stop our murmuring. We'd stop our complaining. We'd stop our bickering. And when people saw us, they'd say, what a happy fellow, what a happy lady, the happiness of the Lord. Lord, I pray for those who've never been saved. Speak to their hearts. Show them right where they are they can be saved. They need to bow their head and cry out to God for forgiveness of sin. Put their trust in under the blood of Jesus Christ and receive Him. For you tell us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you tell us that whosoever believeth that God has been raised from the dead, whoever confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that God's raised from the dead, they shall be saved. Lord, save the lost. But Lord, help us who have been saved to rejoice in the Lord and to realize that the blessed man never has occasion to be sad. Meet our needs. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. God's spoken to your heart. Won't you come in just a moment when the music begins? Won't you come and find a place here? Come and receive Jesus Christ. If we can help you, we want to help you with that. If you're here and you've been struggling, you've been complaining and griping, let me tell you something. You're a child of the King. The King's son doesn't need to behave. The King's daughter don't need to behave that way. Let's determine to be happy, happy in Jesus. You come now.